toleration be the love before pride and exaltation be the love. Be the love.
You are listening to Be the Love to awaken our souls. We are souls on the journey, and our mission is to awaken all humans to a higher state of consciousness and live vibrantly as spiritual beings. We are here to open up the conversation to heal, awaken, and connect ourselves and the planet to a higher vibration of love frequency. I am Stacey Musial.
And I am Brenda Carey. And we are your co-hosts at Be the Love podcast. Thank you for tuning in and ascending with us. It starts with you. Everything you need is within you. This is your time.
This is Adrienne Elise of the Supernova Soul Tribe.
This is Nicholas David Mann.
Namaste. My name is Ischola Joy Davey.
This is Ron Interpreter, and you're listening to Be the Love podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Be the Love to awaken our souls. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. I'm Stacey Musial.
And I am Brenda Carey with our special guest, Tony Stockwell. We are your co-hosts and souls on the journey. We invite you to be a part of our Be the Love tribe in support of your spiritual growth and transformation to come home to your divine self. Let's raise our vibration to love.
And if it feels safe for you, I'd like to begin by inviting you to take a beautiful cleansing breath in through your nose and out through your mouth, releasing anything that is keeping you from being present. And take another deep breath in through your nose, breathing in calm, peaceful, loving energy, and breathing out anything you were ready to release in this now moment. And take one more breath in through your nose, breathing in light and love for yourself. And imagine breathing that light and love and send it back to all of humanity, remembering that you always, always have your breath to come back to.
Our guest today is Tony Stockwell. Tony is an international psychic medium, author, teacher, and speaker with a career spanning over 35 years. He is the most recognized British medium working globally today. He demonstrates both evidential and trance mediumship to worldwide audiences with his uncanny ability to bring through the very essence of the spirit communicator with his heartfelt yet humorous delivery. He has toured for decades on national and international tours. He is a host of multiple TV series, including The Psychic Detective, and featured in The Best of British Mediumship. Tony has published 4 highly acclaimed best-selling books, including his latest, Walking with Angels. And he runs an expansive list of audio courses and meditations. He continues to be a resident tutor at the iconic Arthur Findlay College in the UK and teaches regularly at the globally renowned Omega Institute in New York. Tony travels to demonstrate, teach, and lecture at multiple other global centers. And we are so honored to have him on Be the Love podcast. Can't wait for this enlightening conversation. Thanks for being with us today, Tony.
Thank you very much, ladies, and thank you for inviting me onto your show.
So can you tell us about your journey and what has led you down this spiritual path?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Thank you very much. I think for me, like so many other people, it was curiosity that took me. I mean, I was very young. I was just 16 when I started all this. I think I was only just 16 as well. My grandmother had just died. And I think just a very few weeks maybe afterwards, I was asked to go along to a meeting where I knew there was going to be a medium that was going to stand up and present messages. And I knew nothing then. I was so green to everything. But there was something, and I can remember the conversation like it was yesterday, exactly where I was in the house. And I said, oh, my God, I'm going to go. And I went along petrified, utterly petrified that these weird people were going to do strange things. And when I got into the little tiny hall where the meeting was being held, and there was an array of plastic flowers and there was the Holy Bible on the side. You know, back then I was very comfortable with all of that sort of thing. And it reminded me of church, therefore I thought it must be safe. But I went along and I literally found myself going quite religiously for 2 years. And after 2 years, I was asked to join the one and only development group in the area where I lived. And I was then 18, I think maybe 1 week old. And I found myself in formal development, but it's a long time ago now, but it was a very fascinating part of the journey.
Wow, that sounds like a beautiful, beautiful start to what it sounds like has really led you down this path for many, many years. And so it sounds like you've been able to really deepen your connection and grow into what it is you do today. And so I'm just wondering, what was that process like for you to maybe deepen your connection through the process of mediumship?
I think the deepening of that connection happens over an enormous amount of years, at least for me. So as I say, I started off with evidential mediumship under the tutelage of Joan Barham and Marcia Ford. And these were names you would never hear, but they were local mediums that worked the churches or the spiritualist churches. And I was very, very lucky to have them take me under their wing. And so I did a lot of evidential, and I became well known for evidence, really. So if people are thinking, what on earth is evidence, really? I would stand up on a stage, and sometimes the stage, maybe a tiny stage with maybe 15 people in a room, but it was still a performance of evidential mediumship. And sometimes it was a big theater. And, you know, over the years, I've done 3,500 people in a theater before, and it feels much the same, stand and deliver. But I would clear my thoughts, open my mind, create like a blank canvas in my mind, and setting this intention, friends come close to me, friends gather. And then I would start to feel things and describe the things I felt. And then people would start calling out from an audience if they understood. You know, if I described a man in a big rain mat wearing a beret, shouting out the name Peter, and if all those details seemed to tally, then I would place it with an individual. And I was utterly, mesmerized by this ability to talk essentially of dead people and then try to bring a heartfelt, channeled, inspired message from that person. And I became very, as I said, very well known for that in my young life. And I would work in what we know to be the home counties, which is really all the areas around London, and then went into London, which was like you've made it, you hit the big time. And I would serve all the big churches in London. And I gently sort of gained, when I say a name for myself, I don't mean that through ego, just from, I think, pure stubbornness and tenacity. I did so many thousands of demonstrations. And I think something clicked. I suppose it must have been about the age of maybe 28 or something, where I thought there's got to be more than just delivering messages. How can I be changed? How can I be different myself? And I think I was an okay person at that point. But then I started to really concentrate on working on myself, and my own meditation, my own breath work, and my own consideration of who I am, why I'm in the earth, why am I serving? And from that point onwards, I started to get a stronger bond with spirit, but not just the discarnate spirits, but also the incarnate soul self of me. Because I think, you know, mediumship is a wonderful thing, but it's for many things. And it not only helps the living recognize they will see their loved one sometime in the future, but when we recognize that they are alive, it helps us to recognize that we'll never be dead. And then what do I do with that information? Who am I? Why am I? And if we're living a particularly earthly existence, that may be a really good opportunity then to think, although I enjoy my earth life, there has to be more to it. And then I think from a good message, people then potentially can start their own spiritual awakening, if you like.
I love hearing that transformation of moving into spiritual awakening. And that's one of the things that we really focus in on Be the Love podcast. I would love to know, like, how do you see yourself as a vehicle for that transformation to help people awaken spiritually? Like, what you have such a breadth of knowledge and wisdom. I'm curious, like, how do you see yourself filling that role now compared to then?
Yeah, I think really over the you know, with the Zoom as it is now, you know, that was one of the positives that come out of the grisly situation, which was COVID, or is COVID, that we all jumped online, you see. So I'd be sitting here at home and thinking, crumbs, what can I offer the groups this week? And then I'd start to think, well, I know, I'll give them a trance demonstration, or I'll give a trance workshop. And then over the time now, I'm now doing legend detectives and psychic detection, and how to become a mentor of your own students, how to teach spirituality, how to lecture and so forth. And then added to that, you know, all sorts of different mediumship exercises. So how do I kind of serve now? I think I dream up these weird and wonderful courses that, thank God, lots of people want to come to. And then I hold them in the space and really just try to support them in becoming their own spiritual worker in whichever modality they feel most drawn to. And then I would say this, because I think this is, I said this the other day in my one of my trance groups, that, and again, I appreciate people may not always know what trance is, but trance really is moving into an altered state of consciousness as deep as we can possibly muster, then calling one of those who dwells in the unseen world to come close to us, to blend with us. So their words we speak. Sometimes their face we show through this process of transfiguration. The atmosphere may change around us, healings may pour from us. But ultimately, you're allowing yourself to be like a point of expression, or even a portal between two worlds by shifting your awareness. And then manifestation truly happens. But what I'm trying to get to is, for that to happen at all, the medium themselves has to rise on a soul level. You have no option. You have to be more than your human by far. And so say, for instance, someone sat for the trance blend every single day of the rest of their lives. As a consequence of that, their soul power would manifest every single day for the rest of their lives. And then we are utterly changed. You cannot be the same human when your soul has quickened and found a way of expressing itself.
That's beautiful. And so I would like to talk a little bit more maybe about this stepping into our soul's journey now, and what we're really here to do with all this energy and you know, talk about ascension and moving into the five-dimensional reality, and what, you know, our souls are evolving and here and light workers. And so I'm wondering, like, what are you seeing from, as you're channeling, as you're seeing a new earth being formed? I'm just curious if you, what you're seeing at this time.
Yeah. Oh, my word. Well, it's a funny period of time I think we're all in. So I have now to deny myself watching television with news reports, reading newspapers. And if I do ever keep myself abreast of what's going on in the world, I have to do it when I feel happy, because it plays into my fear. And so if I read something, I think, oh my God, so I know certain things, of course, happen in the world. So in my meditations, in my morning practice, I will hold space for the world and send a healing, send a light, try to make it better, do anything I can to project some positivity on it. But then I'm aware that on a less human level, there's a big evolvement, there's a big change, and the change is happening very fast. And I see it mainly through the children. I have to say, I've got my own young children. I've got my nieces and my nephews and my friends' children and grandchildren now. And the time I spend with them, they're so alert and aware and knowing sometimes, and the other times they're all on TikTok, but I forgive them for that, because the times that they are, you know, trying to be more than themselves, they've come up with some wonderful, astute, clever things and theories and remedies for the world. So part of me just likes to remain very positive about the future for the planet, because we're giving birth to lighter versions of human beings. Mm-hmm. So that I feel rather enthusiastic about. But I think there's so much more change yet to come. And it just really is about shifting consciousness in the majority. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes comes really as a catalyst for, you're not just the human. If we look at ourselves naked in the mirror and we look at, you know, any point of our lives and think, my God, I could do better, we're judging ourselves from our human limbs and torso. But of course, that's our body and it's the anchor to the world. And I think it's getting people to recognize that you're not just the human body, but you're the soul within. You are currently having an incarnation. You are essentially the incarnate spirit that all of us, it struggles to manifest more clearly because it has to permeate physicality, emotion, and the mental thoughts. So that's really why meditation, contemplation, visualization is key, because that goes some way to help us to be who we truly are on a soul level, whilst we're alive on the earth, rather than having to wait until we can wake up upon death. So the idea is to try to be awake every day, bearing in mind that I believe that the vast majority of the world are currently sleepwalking. Mm. So the messages, the meditations, the podcasts, whatever's going out there, is doing an amazing job at just chipping away at consciousness. Mm. So I'm feeling, just please God, hold on longer, that we might manifest more fully and become brighter versions of ourselves in our children and grandchildren.
Mm. Yes, yes, I will. I definitely agree with seeing in my own daughters, like, yes, just the amazing energy that comes out of them. And then, yes, they do get stuck on social media at times. but the seed is there. It's planted. Yeah. And I am too very optimistic. Yeah. I'm curious, can you speak a little bit more about the gifts of our souls? You talked about our incarnate spirit and how we can connect to that through meditation and contemplation. But how can we tap into these gifts?
Yeah. Well, the gifts are varied and myriad. I like that word. But of course, they usually manifest in quite blocky ways at the moment. So if I was taking a group, I might say, oh, we're working on your evidential mediumship, your non-evidential medium, your healing in all its many facets, from Reiki to energy work to hands-on spiritual healing. And then it moves into trance, it moves into psychic knowingness and all the tools that come into psychic knowing. And so we have all of these areas in which we'll help other people to develop. But really, when you boil it all down, it's really helping people to know what they know in the heart. So it's asking people to stop thinking, now feeling. So I will say to my groups often, and I say it in a rather playful way, but no one cares what you think. And they're all utterly horrified. And I say, but everyone wants to hear what you feel. Mm-hmm. So think pretty much comes from your human, feel comes from your soul. So it's essentially the gifts of the soul in which people might be able to develop is really to trust that if they move into a heart space, and that comes from visualizing yourself there, acting from a loving space, a kind space, a forgiving space. And then the gifts of the soul will easily manifest dependent on the situation. Because I'm a great believer that when we work spiritually, we're really only ever as good as our recipient, or our work should be geared to meet that recipient's need. So if I'm reading tomorrow, which I will be, and I'm reading for a lady who's having three love affairs, and doesn't know which one to go with, who's this kind of thing. I'm very happy to work with three love affairs. Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? And oftentimes the answer to her perplexed question is, it's none of them, dear. That you know, go love yourself first. You know, without, you know, sounding too pompous or, you know, something from the Bible or something. You know, but invariably is love yourself. We're masking our deep-seated open and emptiness, I suppose, by trying to fill it in the arms of others. So that I'm very happy to work on that level. Tomorrow I might see someone who's just lost their mum. I'm very happy to work on that level. I may tomorrow, and it happens more increasingly now, work with somebody who's just found they've got a terminal diagnosis. That's happened a lot recently. So people are coming to me really not necessarily for evidence of spirits to come through to say that I am not dead, but really to feel into their situation without knowing anything, of course, and then promising them something that comes after life. So it's life after life, not necessarily life after death. So to answer your question, I don't know if I've done a terribly good job there, but the gifts of the spirits are many. And I think the more we start to play with their expression, what we see as gifts now will be very different in 10 years. Things are constantly evolving in this field.
Empaths, light workers, feel the power of 5D with the QET Classic Pendant. This powerful energy tool is your catalyst for personal evolution. Unlock higher consciousness and well-being. Ground your body, boost your vibration, and supercharge your energy. Manifest your best life with your new quantum powers. Visit www.beingquantum.com to ignite your transformation today. That's www.beingquantum.com.
Yeah. And so it sounds like too, because I think that as we are evolving, our intuition and the veil seems to be getting a little bit thinner with the connection of the other side. Would you say that is accurate?
I love the thought of the veil. I can honestly say I've seen a version of that veil before. And the story is, and a story that I tell before, but it's happened. I was at the Arthur Findlay College. You mentioned the college there, which is a beautiful spiritualist college, and it's in the county in which I live. So I'm very lucky to live by there. And it was summer week. It was my week at the college. I was the organizer, and we were on the grass, which is a beautiful garden there. And I was looking to a tree, which is called the tulip tree. It's a very wonderful tree, and it blossoms tulips. It's amazing, or things that look like tulips. And as I looked to the left-hand side of the tree, I saw like a heat haze, and it's a big tree. And it may be 30 feet wide by maybe 150 feet long or high rather. And I looked, the whole thing shimmered utterly. And I rubbed my eyes, I turned away, I looked back again, and this time it shimmered. But there were like beings in shadow moving into the shimmer, like they were going to walk through. It was honestly, I've never seen anything like it before. And then I sort of rubbed my eyes a number of times, and eventually it faded away. And I thought, well, isn't that marvelous? And that must be something like the veil. And it felt very flimsy, gossamer. It felt like you could put your hand in and feel someone shake your hand. So I do think this idea that the other world is so much closer. But if you don't mind me saying, I've been feeling this the last couple of years that I talk, certainly, and others like me talk about going to the spirit world. And I'm desperately trying now to change my lingo, if you like, because the idea of it's another world would suggest it's a way, it's out there, it's up. And the truth of it is, it's just another dimension. When people say, well, where does that other dimension live? Where does it exist? It exists 1 centimeter away from our face. I mean, it's just here all the while. It's around us. I think the world that we live in now shares space with that other dimension. But I'm also now aware that there are multiple other dimensions. And I'm increasingly aware of not just spirit people, but star people that mm-hmm. come in their soul form from other planets in mm-hmm. the universe. Mm-hmm. And I've shared that recently with a number of my colleagues, and I think they've all either wanted to hand me a stiff drink or have me sectioned, and mm-hmm. maybe both. But I'm utterly convinced that's true.
I'd love to hear more about that and talking about star beings and like, what do you think they're here to do to help support us at this time, or what do you notice?
Well, I think that they've always been here. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the manifestations we hear in biblical texts, etc., is not just of the spirit world, but of the star beings too. But I had a bit of a revelation, because I don't know if you know lots about trance, but I've been a deep trance medium for many years, maybe 35 years or something. And so the idea is, I breathe, I close my eyes, and I can feel I'm become diminished, and a power rises above me and through me. And then there's enough of my awareness when I know I can relax more when I hear myself speak. And it's so random, because I'm not speaking, I hear myself speak. And invariably the voice will declare their name as Zintar, and he will speak. And if I say these words, it just sounds so ridiculous, but I can't say it's not true. My human says, Tony, move forward, but my soul self says, this is as it is, it should be. And so Zintar will often speak and bring some philosophies, some personal messages, some healings and whatnot, and with some brilliant results, I have to say, nothing to do with me at all, but some great results. But it was, I don't know how long, maybe 1 year ago, something like that. I was in trance, and they had, my group had taped, recorded rather, the trance session, and asked me to listen to it thereafter. And it was just this idea that I was talking as Zintar, and then another being who comes like, I don't know, once in the twice in the year, and he simply declares himself a star. And when he came and spoke, I always had this initial feeling of being incredibly tall. And then he starts to speak, and I'm trying to then diminish my consciousness, move into the heart space, not to affect. But on the recording, it was very clear. And he'd said something along the lines of, tell the medium that star I am, of another world. I am alive. I am not discarnate. And I am projecting my thoughts from one world to the other to influence your world. So this doesn't maybe sound like a big deal, but I'm so used to essentially dead people speaking. Mm-hmm. Suddenly there are alive people speaking from another space. Mm-hmm. And star has been speaking through me for many years, and I'd never declared that. So when group had asked, why come, why speak, why come? And it was very much the feeling, we gather closer to the world, we are able to permeate this world. And I do think they not only come through trance mediumship, but also all forms of inspiration. But I also think they can take human form at time. And I'll just very quickly say this, because I do speak too much, I've been told. But when I was in my very early 20s, I was giving one-to-one readings at a beautiful space in West London called the SAGB. It's now, unfortunately, no longer in Belgrave Square. But I was reading there, and a beautiful young lady came to see me and sat down in my little tiny room. And I started my reading. And again, I heard myself saying, you are in this world, but you are not of this world. Yeah. And I opened my eyes at this point, because usually my eyes are closed. And she simply looked and smiled, and she said, that is correct. Mm. And she stood up and she left the room. But I was young, and I thought, oh my God, I've upset this poor woman. I've upset her by saying something strange. So I literally stood up directly after her and went out to my little tiny reading room to say, excuse me, are you okay? And can we get you a different reader or something? And she'd utterly disappeared. Mm. And I ran out to the corner. I ran through the building. I looked right up the side. I said, have you seen that lady? No one had seen her. But it was an impossibility to be gone. Mm. The structure of the building did not lend itself to be disappearing. It couldn't. And so there is this idea of that they may well be star beings walking in the world now that take on form, human form, but may have very little to do with humans.
Wow. So fascinating, Tony. I love that story. So I'm curious, would you be willing to provide us with either a trance or evidential mediumship reading?
All of the above and always.
Or whatever you feel most called to. I'm not as familiar with the differences, but whatever you feel is calling to you.
Yeah. Well, I've never shut up from demonstrating ever, but you need the preparation for trance, which is where I'm more guided to do. So to prep for trance, I may meditate for 20 minutes before. I would soften the lights. I would change my shirt. I'd drink a pint of water. Honestly, it's a rigmarole to get.
It's amazing.
And then I allow them to come in and speak. But I would be more than happy to demonstrate for you as a separate occasion. Maybe for more than, it takes about an hour, and a half to trance. Mm. And then you could even invite some guest speaker or guests in online. So there is information that could pour through me directly to others. And that may come in the shape of individual healings or philosophy or messages. But we could certainly provide that.
Okay, sounds beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, we'd love that.
It's a thing. Yeah. And again, I've seen trance media work with a dip of their head and they're here. Mm-hmm. And it's never been like that for me. It's a process. Yeah.
It sounds like it's a real beautiful process, just connecting and going in a deep way. So it feels like a very maybe ritualistic or
that's what I was thinking. Like it seems like it was much more of a ritual than I thought. Obviously, you can tell I'm very novice at understanding mediumship, but I'm so fascinated by it. I mean, it just blows me away.
And
I think once you've experienced the energy of it, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But then I've also experienced it, and no doubt I'm guilty of in the past when it's not been as clear and it's just felt clumsy. So, you know, I'm always very feet on the ground. Although I say these mad things, I'm very much feet on the ground with all of this. And because my tuition and my practice has been through evidence. So it's very much about what do you got, what's her name, where she live, you know, and so I've worked in that field for the longest time. But I'm now, as I get older, which I certainly am getting older, everything's changing. Everything now just feels different. I feel after all these years like I'm essentially now being held a lot of the time energetically. And no doubt other times carried somewhat.
Yeah, and so I, you know, just going back to star beings, I've had some really interesting experiences myself with star beings, and it all happened, actually, it's kind of funny. It's all stemmed from when I went to Sedona a couple times, actually. And so the first time I went there and I was downloaded with this symbol, and next thing I had went through this process, and I was having a reading, and the symbol was connected with Andromeda, and the star being Solara comes to me now every time I'm having a reading, and so she's here to help support in the unconditional love, and actually that's when this podcast was born as well, out of that whole experience. And then another time I was in Sedona, and this Pleiadian came to me, and name was Zachariah, and just having, it's another connection, but I feel them very, very close. And I feel like the veil just became thinner for me, or maybe my awareness, my receptivity became more open. So it was very interesting.
Yes, I'm glad you had those experiences, because there are hot spots or portal spaces in the world. In Sedona, certainly, I've had many wonderful reports of that sort of thing. And you'll have places here, of course, in the UK where standing stones still stand. And they do hold a power. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pagans knew what they were doing, that's for sure.
So I'm curious, what are, can you speak a little bit more about like, what are some of your favorite memories of some of the mediumship that you've been able to provide for people? You mentioned one or two others, but what are ones that like really stand out to you that you feel are really special?
Yeah, wow, my God. It's so hard to remember all the rope because I couldn't possibly, there's so many of them, but there's, I suppose, some readings that after all these years stand out. And I think one of the messages quite recently was maybe just before Christmas time. I was in a theatre somewhere in South London, and unbeknownst to myself, there was a lady in the audience I read for 30 years, her and her family. Anyway, so I didn't know she was in the audience. And so I opened my thoughts and I closed my eyes and I hear myself say, I have a lady here in her 50s, and I know in life she had Down syndrome, and she lived with her mother all her life. And when her mother died, her eldest sister moved in, took over her care. I have the name for Olive. She talks of Frank, and then it just blah, 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 blah. And so I'm standing, of course, on the stage, and nobody knows. Mm. Nobody knows anything that I'm saying. So it's one of those tumbleweed moments where everyone's looking around thinking, he's lost the plot. The guy's an imbecile. Can we get a refund? It's, you know, so yeah, so I leave the contact and I move on, and I think it's a perfectly fine evening. And so I was in the car driving home, and this lady I've mentioned to you before, she brings up to tone. I was in the audience. I said, oh, crumbs, I've not spoken to you forever. How are you? How are you? Are you well? I'm fine. She said, but I think I may have missed an opportunity for a message. And I said, what one, you know? And she tells the story. And the lady came through as an aunt. And she said, Frank, which is this same lady's husband who had just died about a year before, which I knew him. He had an aunt. Her name was Olive. She had Down syndrome. She lived with her mother all her life. Her sister moved in and cared for her till she died. She was in her 50s. But then she had the cheek to say, do you think that message was for me? Mm. And I think I said, no. But anyway, yes, of course it was. And so I share this information really because it, on the seat, on the outside of it, is not my most successful one-to-one or delivery of message from a platform or from a gallery-styled reading. But I really enjoy those readings where essentially they're not understood. The audience walk away thinking that bit was a bit nonsense, but then they find themselves to be true, true, true. And it's still going to be possible for the same lady, Olive, to come through, no doubt, to say, I'm now here and changed, and Frank is here. And I think it's a great, wonderful thing for our ego when things don't always go 100%. I think I'm very comfortable with that now. And then I'll just tell you one thing, because there was a number of years ago I finished a demonstration in Hereford. Why I remember these venues I don't know. It's a country town, and I'd given what I think was a nice demonstration. And back then, pre-COVID, I would wait behind and go into the foyer and say hello to whoever wanted to say hello to me. So, you know, after a show there might be 50 people waiting there. I'd say, can you sign a book, or you know, you met my mum or something like this. And so right at the end of this signing, you know, of books and whatnot, there was a lady and her friends that came to see me. They'd obviously waited right until the end. And she handed me a photograph of a young man, and it was like the kind of order of service you might get at a funeral. And so it had his name and in loving memory and his face and everything was there. And I could see by the look on this young man that he looked like he'd had some form of physical disability in life. And so I'm holding this photograph, and she's upset. And she said, my son never came through. Why did my son never come through? And so I was, you know, going into my normal chat about, well, there's a lot of people, and there's so many messages, and I was boring myself, you know, coming up with my standard answer. And all of a sudden, I close my eyes. I feel her son join me. And I say something like, your son is here, he's now able-bodied, he's well and fine, and he's on the back of a Connemara mare. And they're riding together without saddle because the mare wants to let him ride so beautifully upon her, and they've become the best of friends. So this is the grand drum roll moment. And then she looks at me and she says, X amount of weeks before her son had died, she'd lost her mare, a Connemara mare. And what's more important, is that her son had always wanted to ride her horse, but was physically unable to ride the horse and devastated after the horse had passed. And so this may not sound as good as I think it is, but in one vision, the horse, the boy, she wants to take his weight. He rides her beautifully. Mm. It was just so beautiful because it was saying he's now able and aware and where the love is. And so it took me no more than a minute or two to bring a tiny message. But that particular lady has emailed me since, and I know it's made a big shift in her perception of life after death.
Mm. It sounds like such a beautiful gift to be able to really share that with people. And it sounds like it really gives them closure, maybe in something that they've been struggling with on this earthly plane.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Beautiful. And so, Tony, I'm curious, just as you focus on the work that you do and you're continuing to offer your gifts to the world, what do you see as the bigger picture of healing and the macro vision for the work that you do for the planet?
Well, I don't know. My intention personally is to continue as I am, being expansive, God willing, come up with new concepts to share for the students now that then will take over and become the mediums of tomorrow, the psychics of tomorrow, the healers of tomorrow. Where it all goes, I don't know. But what I'm quite convinced of, I'll be back by then.
Mm.
So I really believe in reincarnation. I do. And I think my soul's already plotted a entry point somewhere in the world. So I think it's important, whatever we leave the world with, we may well be coming back to inherit our good deeds or otherwise. And then for us as a collective, listen, I don't know. I think we have to learn to walk more gently upon the earth, be less impactful, and then keep smiling, keep happy, keep being soulful, and lead by example. That's all we can do.
Those are beautiful words. Absolutely. Mm. Well, as we wrap up our conversation, please tell our listeners where they can find you and anything you're currently working on.
Oh, thank you very much, Brenda. Well, my site is the easiest place to connect with me. So tonystockwell.com. And they better see everything and anything they want to see there. Courses, one-to-ones, everything like that. But my current thing I'm working on is everything. But my new program, which starts in March, is how to become a spiritual mentor.
Mm-hmm.
So for those people that maybe teach, want to teach, have a special interest in one particular modality, rather than teaching them how to teach, how to mentor clients to get the very most out of their spiritual development. I'm looking forward to that.
Mm. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Tony, and thank you for your offerings. We will add that to our show notes so people can easily find you. Yeah, and thank you so much for being here with us today. And thank you for listening to Be the Love podcast. Find a spiritual home with us and let's connect on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. We always appreciate a 5-star review on iTunes and Spotify. Please consider supporting our mission to awaken our souls with a monthly donation that helps us with the operating costs of this podcast so we can continue to spread the love. To contribute, please visit our Patreon website at patreon.com/bethelovepodcast and stay tuned for more episodes being released on Mondays at 5:55 a.m. Mountain Time.
Thank you, Heather Lynn, for providing us with your beautiful song to accompany our show, Be the Love. If you would like to learn more about Heather Lynn and her music, please visit her website at heatherlynnmusic.com. And thank you, Christy Grace at Leading Edge Productions, for the beautiful design and graphic.
And thank you for tuning in. And until next time, we are souls on the journey to align to our divine purpose and shine our lights. So keep on shining.